Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here.
We're gonna take it up.
This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You're listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this October the 10th, 2021. Now, I'm Bishop Shalene Cook. I'm the woman of God of this assembly, but each and every Sunday morning, I am always joined by members of the Spirit Alive family in the persons of Evangelist Michelle Scott, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, and Minister Tina Brown. Hallelujah. So on behalf of all of us here this morning, we would like to welcome you to this morning's service. And we pray, hallelujah, that you will hear something on this morning that will cause you to be truly blessed, hallelujah. So right now, we are going to go to opening prayer with our very own Minister Tina Brown. Amen.
Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this morning, thanking you for another beautiful day you made today and another day for us to be able to worship and praise you, Heavenly Father. We pray for our message today and the messenger who's going to be delivering the message. We pray for all of those who are listening so that their hearts and ears may hear the message that you want us to receive today. We pray for all of those out there who don't know you, Heavenly Father, and maybe this is their first time listening to our program. Those to be lifted up today and given hope today. Yes. As they listen, we thank you. Yeah. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Amen.
Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Holy Ghost power. Breathe on me. Yesterday's gone. Today I'm in.
Again.
Breathe on me.
Oh, breathe.
to God. That's Brother Clint Brown singing, Breathe on Me. Hallelujah. Saints of God, it is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask our most beloved and highly esteemed mother of the church, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come and to read to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So please, now give your undivided attention to Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell as she comes. Amen.
Good morning. I love each and every one of you. The lesson this morning is entitled Point to Jesus, Your Qualification. We're coming from 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, and it reads, But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Now, when the devil accuses us of having done wrong and tells us that we don't deserve God's blessing, what should we do? Well, the Lord showed me one day what we are to do. We are to point everything back to Jesus, who qualifies us for all of God's blessings. So when the devil says, you are not righteous enough, just look to Jesus and declare this. He is my sanctification. When the devil says, you don't deserve to be healed, just look to Jesus and declare, by his stripes, I am healed. When the devil says, you don't qualify for the blessing, just look to Jesus and declare, he is my qualification. Each time you point everything back to Jesus, the devil has nothing to say because Jesus qualifies you for all of God's blessings. In and of yourself, you do not qualify. Without Christ, there is nothing good in you which can qualify you. But with Christ, your disqualification becomes your qualification for the undeserved, unearned, and unmerited blessing of God. Your life in Christ, see Colossians 3 and 3, who is the all-deserving one, you become all-deserving. Because you are in Christ, you are qualified. Jesus qualifies you because he died for you and gave you a blood-bought right to every blessing of God. You have a blood-bought right to a life full of meaning, purpose, and abundance. You have a blood-bought right to walk in divine health. You have a blood-bought right to prosperity, even when the economy is bad. You have a blood-bought right to preferential treatment because God favors you. You have a blood-bought right to the good life. My friend, you have a right to all these blessings, not because you are good, but because Jesus shed his blood and qualified you to have them. So don't let the devil or anyone else tell you you can't expect to walk in the blessings of God. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. Amen. The thoughts for the day, you have a right to all the blessings of God because Jesus shed his blood and qualified you to have them. Amen, and praise God.
Let your glory fill this house. Lord, let your glory fill this house. As we lift up our hands in praise, Lord, let your presence fill. Lord, let your presence fill the house. let your glory fill the house. Lord, let your glory fill the house.
Yes,
as we lift up our hands in praise, in praise. Lord, let your glory.
Oh, Hallelujah and glory to God. That was the beautiful, the incomparable Pastor Shirley Caesar singing, Fill This House. Hallelujah. It is now time for once again for prayer here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we come together as a family. We stand in the gap for our loved ones that are unsaved, for the issues of the heart and the issues in this world. We just pray, Lord, lifting up those that we love, those that we know, those that we don't know, because we want everyone to come to know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. So right now I'm going to ask that you bow your heart and please lend your ear to Evangelist Michelle Scott as she leads us this morning in prayer. Amen.
Amen. If we could just all close our eyes and bow our heads as we go humbly before the throne of grace. Oh, Lord God, we just come to your throne of grace right now, just lifting up all those in prayer to you right now. We're going to just stand in the gap for those who can't pray for themselves right now for whatever reason, Father God. We're just going to lift them up to you, Father God. And right now, Father God, we just want to, first of all, thank you for just another day, Father God. We thank you for opening our eyes to see another day that we've never seen before, Father God. We thank you for this beautiful day, Father God. We thank you for the activity of our limbs right now, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for mobility right now, Father God. We thank you for a second chance, Father God. And for some of you, we thank you for a second, a third, a fourth, and even a fifth chance.
Yes, Lord, we thank you, Jesus.
You're the God of multiple chance, Father God. And we thank you right now for being the wheel in the middle of a wheel, Father God. We thank you for being the multiple chambers in our heart, Father God, allowing oxygen to flow through our body, Father God, giving us fresh air to breathe in and out. Oh, Lord, we're just so thankful, Father God. We thank you for our highs and our lows that we are able to feel different feelings, Father God. We thank you for our family and our friends, Father God.
We're just so thankful
to you, Father God. We thank you for long suffering, Father God.
Some of us have patience
and some of us don't. Father God, we thank you for our children, Father God. And speaking of children, Father God, we ask that you give the lack of memory for those children that have suffered sex trafficking, Father God. We want you to take the memory of those horrifying memories or take it away, Father God, from these children.
Lord, God.
We want
Please,
you to
sir.
Take the memory of those heinous acts. Take it away from those babies' memories.
Lord.
And even
the ones that have suffered through it, Lord Jesus, that have gone on to become
teenagers and even elderly people, take that away from their memories, Father God.
And
help them to get away from that memory so that they can live their lives to the fulfillment that you have.
Watch over every military branch
that's out there in the military.
Be with the Lord, all the branches, Lord.
Bring their, help them in their mind, body, and soul.
So when they come back to their families, Father God,
they can be productive men and women. We know those men and women come back to the to their homes, and they serve in the military, and then they come back, and they don't even get treated like human beings, Father God, after they serve in the military.
That they be treated like they're supposed to be treated
after they done served in the military. We ask that they be treated right, Father God.
We ask that the nation's capital and every cabinet
that they look after the people of the country that they serve. Ask that they serve the way they're supposed to, Father God.
Yes,
protect every servant leader, every pastor, every bishop, every Catholic, just everybody that's serving in the capacity of they're supposed to be under you, Father God.
Yes.
Watch over all these speak the way that they're supposed to and ask that they preach
Lord.
In season and out of season, Father God.
Yes,
that
Jesus. Hallelujah,
their,
Jesus.
Yes,
their,
Lord.
The way that they're supposed to feed them, Father God. I ask that you watch over all the sick and shut in all over this world,
yes,
Father
Jesus.
God. Give them shelter, Father God.
Yes,
give them food,
God.
Father God. Give them everything that they need, Father God. I ask that you would just continue to watch over families, Father God. Watch
yes,
over
Jesus.
The elderly, Father God. Watch over babies. Watch over the handicapped. Watch over elderly. Watch over people that are trying to heal their bodies. Watch over people that are being restored, Father God. Just watch over every servant leader that's serving on this platform, Father God. And please, Father God, continue to hold up the arms of this beautiful angel that's over Spirit Alive Ministry.
Oh, bless you,
Cook,
yes,
Father
Lord.
God.
Yes,
keep
Lord.
Her hands held up. And every servant leader that's serving on this platform, Father God, continue pouring into them as you pour into Bishop Cook, Father God. Continuously pour into the servant leaders that they will be obedient, the ones that are here. Keep them obedient, Father God, because she's pouring out her soul into them. Help them to pour back into her and to pour into the people and continuously be obedient and not to take from her. She's pouring into them. Don't let them take from her and don't not be obedient and pour back into the people of God. I ask this in all things in the name of
Jesus
Christ. Amen and thank God.
Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Amen.
Okay, Mother Mary.
Woo!
All right.
Is there anybody here that loves the Lord like I do?
Oh, hallelujah. That was the Christian there singing, stand up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is now time for this morning's message. Hallelujah. So I would like for you to please turn with me once again to the book of Acts, chapter 2. And this morning we will resume our look at the church of Acts, where we go back in time and revisit the day of Pentecost. Please turn to Acts, chapter 2. And this morning we are going to be looking at verses 14 through 36. But I'm going to begin with the word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now once again before your throne of grace, asking you to empty me of myself and step into this body of clay. Speak through me, Lord God, directly to the hearts of your people, so that they might come to know you better, come to know you in the pardon of their sin, come to know you in a very special and dear way, Lord, so that they might live an abundant life right now. May you be glorified, magnified, Lord, and honored as your people are edified. In your righteous and holy Son, Jesus' name, I do pray it all. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, saints of God, before we get into it today, I want to just go over a few little things with you. Last week, we looked at how the believers who were gathered on the day of Pentecost had all just been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were speaking in other tongues. Now, people from various language groups understood what they were saying. And part of the reason these believers were accused of being drunk could be the liturgy of the day of Pentecost was expected to be done by trained priests in the Hebrew language. This is what the Jews called the Holy Tongue. Now, this might be compared to how Roman Catholics use Latin in masses and in their liturgy. Many people do not understand it, but it has been viewed as a sacred tongue. Using the proper language was deemed more important than having people understand what was being said. So for the people to stand up in the temple on the day of Pentecost during the 9 a.m. time and start praying and declaring God's praise in Aramaic, Greek, or any of the other languages represented there would seem a bit out of place. In fact, it would have been profane to some of the Jews to use any other language than Hebrew for worship in the temple. But when these devout Jews from several other nations saw these Galileans stand up and start speaking, and they actually understood what was being said, it amazed and perplexed them. Some of them thought it was pretty cool, but others thought it reflected poor judgment, the kind of poor judgment a drunk person might display, someone who does not know enough to sit down, be quiet, and stop interrupting the priest. These guys must be drunk, they thought. These are ordinary men from Galilee, and here they are trying to act like priests. But they aren't even speaking in Hebrew. They are speaking in Aramaic, Greek, and other foreign profane languages. But saints, when you add that joy of the Holy Spirit and the emotional release that these spirit-filled believers must have been feeling, we can only imagine why they might have been accused of being drunk. Well, Peter was still under the influence of the Holy Spirit when he stood up to correct the allegation of drunkenness, and he preached the gospel to well over 3,000 people all at one time. So this morning, I would like to look at Peter's Pentecost sermon, and let it speak to us again today, because I believe that Peter truly delivered what I consider the very first mic drop moment was here when he challenged the people to stop and think. How are you under the influence? Are you just a sipping saint, or are you Holy Ghost bold? And he asked this all while he himself was totally under the influence. Now let's look at this Pentecostal sermon, starting with verse 14. It said, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith unto himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made him the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Oh, hallelujah and glory to God. Saints, if you don't get anything else this morning, I want you to get this down in your very sanctified soul. We need to be and we must be under the influence of the Holy Spirit in order to boldly speak the truth. Now, some of you may be thinking, look, Bishop, that was then, but what about now? Does the Holy Spirit still work that way today? And if so, how can we get in on it? Well, this morning I want to look at three main elements from Peter's sermon, and we're going to find out some answers. First thing I want us to look at is that God is pouring out his spirit on all who will receive it. Verses 17 through 18 says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, God saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. The first thing we need to understand is the Holy Spirit must be received. It must be welcomed. It must be accepted. Beginning on the day of Pentecost in the year Christ died and rose again, that was possibly around 30 AD until now, God has been pouring out his Holy Spirit on all who will receive it. The key for believers today is to prepare themselves to receive the Holy Spirit. God already has and still is pouring his spirit out, but it is up to us to receive what God is giving. In Luke 24:49, Jesus told his disciples to wait in the city of Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit, which the Father had promised to send. This brings up the question for us today. How we increase our receptiveness of the Holy Spirit? How can we foster a greater openness to all that God wants to pour into our lives? Well, one thing we can do that these early believers did is to pray. Acts 1 and 14 tells us they all joined together constantly in prayer. We just talked about this a few weeks ago, but it tells us at least two things they did to help prepare them to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. First, they joined together. And two, they prayed. I wonder what would happen if all believers started really joining together and praying on a regular basis. Now, I'm not talking about a casual get-together Good Samaritan Club. I'm talking about people coming together for the sole purpose of seeking the presence and the power of God. I can only imagine what would happen if we would really come together, praying, expecting God to move. Hallelujah. So one thing I can say is, the one thing that must happen for us to increase our openness to the Holy Spirit is that we must come to a place where we trust God. If we don't trust that God wants to give us what is best for us, then we won't be very open to receive the infilling of His Holy Spirit. You see, every good and perfect gift comes from our Heavenly Father. God doesn't give bad gifts. He wants us to have the very best of everything. That is why He sent Jesus. That is why He sends the Holy Spirit. So let's trust Him completely and eagerly embrace the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit enables us to prophesy. You see, that's the result of God pouring out His Spirit on normal people. They will prophesy. It doesn't have to be a priest or a special prophet who prophesies God's truth. Women, men, and even children can be used by God to declare His love and what He has done. He can even use a donkey if He wants to. However, prophecy is more than just speaking truth. Anyone can say something that is true, but it may not really have an effect on anyone around them. So you see, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to boldly speak God's truth in love. Only the Holy Spirit can make the truth penetrate the hearts and minds of those who hear it. And it is essential, and prophecy is an essential outlet for the gospel. So what does it mean to prophesy? It doesn't necessarily mean telling something that is going to happen in the future, although we know from Old Testament it could refer to that. Prophecy happens when a believer declares the truth of God's word through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is why Peter referred to Joel chapter 2, where God says, He will pour out His Spirit on all people, and they will prophesy. The Holy Spirit is essential to prophecy. And He uses prophecy to speak the truth to believers and unbelievers alike. When believers hear words of prophecy, the purpose is generally to build up the entire body of Christ and to center our focus on Jesus. When unbelievers hear the words of prophecy, the purpose is to declare God's love. God's love is so great that He wants to warn the lost about the direction they are headed and draw them to Himself. The gospel brings a warning and an invitation. The warning is that whosoever does not receive God's answer for man's sin problem is doomed. There is eternal punishment that awaits all who reject God. However, the invitation is that of a loving Father saying, "Come home. I love you, and I want to give you a life worth living. Come home, return to me, your first love, because I want you to live a life and live life more abundantly." Now, Peter, under the influence, mind you, of the Holy Spirit, gave both warning and invitation in his prophecy. One thing we notice in his sermons is that he talked a lot about Jesus. He said, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Didn't hear Peter talking a lot about Peter. Sure did hear Peter talking an awful lot about Jesus, because prophecy talks about who Jesus is and what he has done and can do for us. Peter warned his listeners about their sin of rejecting God and told them that the same Jesus they had killed was the one God had sent to save the world from their sin. Jesus is the Messiah that Israel was waiting for. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah, meaning anointed one. This prophecy that Peter gave by the power of the Holy Spirit had an awesome effect on the listeners. In fact, 3,000 of them believed on Jesus that day and repented of their sin. Could Peter have created such a response himself? Absolutely, positively, unequivocally, no. It was only by the influence of the Holy Spirit that his words made a difference. Hallelujah. Folks, we need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We need to stay in right relationship and close fellowship with Jesus so the Holy Spirit can work through us. God is still pouring out his Spirit on all of us who will receive it. Now, how about you? Are you a receiver? Do you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit and receive the power to boldly speak God's word? Because God is still doing it. So come on, folks, let's do it his way, and let's let him fill us. Something else that Peter said while under the influence had to do with God's activities in the last day. So let's look at that. God is showing signs and wonders to signal the end of time. Verse 19 says, I will show wonders in the heaven above the signs of on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Now, there are a number of things we could talk about here. This sounds kind of like a description of war. And we know war is no new thing. It is certainly not the end of time, the time phenomenon. However, we do read that there will be wars and rumors of wars.
Rumors of wars.
Yeah. Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. You can read that at Matthew 24, 6 through 7. We can certainly argue that many of these things are already happening, and they serve as signs to us that the end is getting closer. Matthew 24 goes on to say that there will be a great distress in the last days. Can we say COVID? Matthew 24:29 says, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Now, if that sounds kind of scary to you, that's good, because it's scary with good reason. Luke 21 verses 25 through 27 describes it this way. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. These are things that will signal the end, that will happen to signal the end of time on this earth. But is what you're waiting for? And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. You see, saints of God, Jesus is coming back to this earth, and he's going to take his people to be with him forever. As we look around today, what are we looking at? Since COVID, do we not see men's hearts failing them with fear? Do we not see strange weather, hurricanes, tsunamis, tornadoes going off everywhere, you know, fires everywhere. Do we not see mothers against daughters, fathers against sons, people committing matricide, patricide, parents killing their children? We don't have to look to and add, we don't have to ask if we are in the last days. We are definitely in the last days. However,
yes,
until the day comes, we need to keep reminding ourselves of another important point in Peter's sermon that's found in Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. God is saving all who call on Jesus. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. We read that in verse 21. Then down in verse 36 we read, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Jesus is Lord. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? Well, we're going to be saved from an eternity void of God's love. We are saved from eternal punishment and separation from God. We are saved from living a sinful lifestyle and from reaping the consequences of a sinful lifestyle. Ultimately, though we are saved through the judgment, we are saved from the judgment that is to come. You see, one day, every human being who ever lived will stand before God to give an account.
Yes.
And the main question we will have to answer is, what did you do with what I gave you? God gave us Jesus. What have you done with Jesus? Have you confessed that he is the Lord and King of the universe? Have you made him leader of your own life? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Have you been saved? God is still saving everyone who calls on Jesus. As we close, you can read about the results of Peter's sermon in verse 37. And after that, his words got through to them and they asked, what do we do now? Peter told them very clearly that what they needed to do, turn from your sins and turn to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus and he will forgive you. If Peter were here today, I think he would be preaching the same kind of message. He would still be telling us that God is pouring out his spirit just like Joel prophesied. He would be telling us that judgment is coming, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved from that judgment. So repent, therefore repent now. Turn away from your sins and turn to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus, showing that you are willing to follow him. He will forgive you and change your life. Furthermore, he will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many under the sound of my voice would say, I really do need more of the Holy Spirit in my life? If we only knew how desperately we need the Holy Spirit to breathe new life in us. Folks, without the Holy Spirit, we don't have what it takes to be who God wants us to be. I urge you to begin to seek God, asking him to fill you with the Holy Spirit and the power you need to change your world. If you do not know the Lord today, if you have not called on the name of the Lord, asking him to forgive you and clean your heart out, he is very near to you right now. If you will simply do what it takes to take a step toward him, he will meet you and touch your life. There is power in forgiveness. He brings restoration and transformation. Hallelujah. He brings salvation, grace, and mercy to the table. So won't you receive him today? Won't you receive his spirit today? And if you do not know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, I'm going to ask that you lend your ear right now to Minister Gladys as she comes in and invites you into a relationship, not to a church, not to a building, but into a relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen.
Yes.
Minister Gladys, please come forth. Amen. Praise God. We must be having some technical difficulty, but that is all right. Listen, if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, it's as simple as ABC. A, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Believe, to be, believe that he is the Son of the living God and God raised him from the dead. C, confess your sin and then go and sin no more. And it is as simple as you saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. For I believe that you came, you died, and you rose just for me. Now, Lord, all that I am and ever will be, I'm prepared to commit it unto thee. Come into my life and save me for your name's sake.
Yes.
And use me, Lord God, for your purpose and your glory. And I pray it all in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. Father God, I just come right now before your throne of grace, just asking you to bless all the new converts around this world. Father God, I know that your word does not go out void, and it does come back void, and it does exactly what you set it out to do. So we come praising you and magnifying you right now for every heart that was changed, for every stronghold that was brought down, Lord God, for every imagination that was pulled down, Lord God. We just want to thank you, Lord, for what you did for us today through this worship service. Lord, we just praise you right now. We just ask that you continue to watch over the new converts, Lord, and put people in their path, Father God, that can show them a more excellent way and live out your holy word before them, Father God. Because, Lord, we want them to come to know you and to come to know all the benefits that they will have in you. So, Lord, I thank you for this time and this season. We just praise you for it all. I want to thank you for the beautiful servant leaders here at the Spirit Alive Network. Father God, I thank you for Evangelist Michelle, who prayed our prayer, our altar call so beautifully this morning. Father God, I want to come thanking you right now in the name of Jesus for our beautiful and most loving mother, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell this morning. Glory to God as she brought the meditational reading. I want to thank you for Minister Tina, Father God, as she prayed, hallelujah, and opened us up in prayer. I want to thank you, Lord, for every person listening in this sanctuary today. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that they can go out in Holy Ghost boldness, Father, and do what you would have them to do. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that we can lay down every shred of ourselves, Lord God, and be filled with you so that we might do more, Father God, to bring others to you. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that lives will be changed, transformed. People will be delivered, Father God. And I just want to thank you for this time and this season.
Thank you, Jesus.
I pray it all in your son Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you, Jesus. And to God be the glory. We just want to thank you all for listening this morning. And what I always do is give the people of God, the servant leaders in the house, just an opportunity. This morning, the message was very articulate. It was very clear, so it does not need to be rehashed. But what I am going to do is ask each of the servant leaders here today to come into the room and just give God a praise for what the Holy Spirit is doing in their lives. And we are going to begin with our very own Minister Tina. And if you would like to join this conversation, if you would like to put your praise on it, kindly press the one on your keypad, and that will let me know that you want to come on into the service, hallelujah, and just give God glory. So Minister Tina, come on in the room and give God a praise for what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life.
Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for another beautiful service you've allowed us to be able to hear and feel, Heavenly Father. I am just so thankful for all of the blessings you give to me and the people around me in my life every single day. I am just really thinking a lot about what the service was about today and the things that are going on around us and how we need to be prayed up and how we really needed to be walking with Christ every single day in all that we do. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Tina. All right, I'm going to address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number, area code 510.
Last four digits, 5352. Come on in the room. God bless you. Area code 510, last four digits of your phone number, 5352. Hello? Okay, perhaps they hit their one by accident. So we're going to move on to Evangelist Michelle Scott. Come on in the room.
First of all, I want to thank God for the message and the messenger. I'm also giving God thanks for giving me more clarity on my spiritual journey and for advancing me also on my spiritual journey and giving me more restoration in my health and just giving me a strong and powerful bishop who is steadfast in her teaching and strong and stern in the way she talks to me and keeps me on my path. And she's not wavering in that. And I'm so thankful for our relationship. And I'm just so thankful for you and how you come across to me and you keep me on my toes. And it just makes me dive deeper and deeper into the Word of God. And I just want to let you know that I hear you. Don't ever think that I don't hear you, okay?
Amen.
I do hear you. So it's working, and trust me, it's working, and you're going to see more of my growth. God bless you, and may he continue to touch and bless you, because as he's touching and blessing you, you're touching and blessing me and others. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Mother Mitchell, come on into the room.
Yes. Bishop, I just want to say, wonderful message. It gives us a lot to think about, but I am so thankful that God is pouring his blessings and spirit on me as one of his that loves him, and that because he loved me first, and I thank him for loving me and knowing me, and he just helps me to stay, and you help me to stay on course and study, improving and studying and doing what I need to do. And I just thank God for it. I thank God for friends. I thank God most of all for prayer, because when we pray together, we stay together. When we all try to go our separate ways, then it's a division. And God is never about division. He's always about unity and togetherness and the blessings that he can pour out on us because he loves us. Thank you, Bishop.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, Saints, all I'm going to ask you is a simple question. We need to be under the Spirit. We need to be under the influence. And we need to be under the influence of God's Holy Spirit. Don't be a sipping saint. Hallelujah. Be fully filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Be fully, allow yourself to be filled to the brim. Till your cup overflows. Hallelujah. Because, see, God is not stingy with anything. He wants to give us an abundance of everything.
Yeah.
And there might be somebody within the sound of my voice that you're feeling worn out, you're feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling, you know, like you don't know which way to turn. You know, you're getting distracted by the things of the world. You things are sounding foreign to you and looking foreign to you. I came to tell you today, turn to the Lord. Ask him to fill you with his Spirit, so that he might give you understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and discernment, so that you might continue to keep your faith walk and your love walk strong. So I just thank everybody that was in here this morning. I thank you all that were listening via your computers and in the chat room. And right now, if there'll be nothing else, I'm going to have Mother Mitchell bring us the benediction, and I will dismiss you. Amen.
God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You have been listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, and we just really pray that you have been edified this morning. You have been blessed this morning, uplifted, empowered, impacted to live a more abundant life. Please join us tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern for Revival Mondays. And tomorrow night, our anointed speaker will be Apostle J. Leon Travis. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And it truly is our fervent prayer from this household of faith to your house that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Have a beautiful and blessed rest of your day. I love you, saints of God. Thank you.
Love you, Bishop. Thank you.
Love
you. Have a beautiful day. God bless you.
Love you, Sister Michelle. Bye. Sister Tina. Love you.
Thank you. Love you, Mother Mitchell. Love all of you. Thank you. God bless you.
Love you, Tina.